dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. And this scoreboard update is brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Searching for a solution to a damp and musty crawl space? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station in the new radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
All right.
The next Bulls game on the score is tonight when the Bulls take on the Memphis Grizzlies. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Horowitz & Horowitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers.
What time is it?
It's 5 o'clock.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
Looking forward to a conversation with old college buddy Seth Davis. And you weren't joking before. We were the co-hosts of Duke Sports Center.
Yeah, I wasn't
Cable
joking.
13.
We was in Shakers on that campus.
Did I ever show you that VHS tape?
You showed me the Dick Vitale.
Oh, that's with Goldberg.
Stuff.
Yeah, that was my other co-anchor. But yeah, the stuff was... I watched it, and I wanted it to be so bad it's good. And it was... It's fine. You know, we're good. We're good enough that it's not funny, and it's also... It's not... really particularly interesting.
Plus, whenever you watch or listen to anything that you did when you were younger,
he does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
You're probably going to be a very harsh critic, just so you don't sound self-aggrandizing, you know?
Yeah, you always should. Advice I always give to young broadcasters is be your own most ruthless self-critic.
Yeah.
You pair away the bad and you end up with something sometimes resembling good. Seth Davis is on Twitter at Seth Davis Hoops. He is the College Hoops reporter for CBS Sports, managing editor of The Fieldhouse, and he's got a book out. I read the excerpt that was posted to Twitter recently. The book is called Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. Seth, hello.
Dan!
Hey!
Good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, I'm around. You know, I'm here. So what was the process of that book like? I know you put a lot of work into it.
Well, you know, I've interviewed, obviously, people from all walks of life and in sports throughout my career, and I've always been fascinated by the idea of coaching and leadership, but mostly as a long-form journalist and storyteller, you need interesting characters to make for good stories. And coaches are the best characters to write about because they're brilliant, they're driven, they're talented.
And drunk. A lot of them are drunk.
Oh, some of them are definitely drunk. Some of the writers are drunk, so that have that in common. But also, you know, they're multifaceted, multidimensional, nuanced, and ultimately very tortured. You know, a lot of the best coaches are not particularly likable people. And so the chance to, you know, find guys who were high achievers and had won championships, but also were interesting stories and interesting stories to tell, and also that I could get access to. As I went deeper and deeper into this project, I realized that having that access to be able to have long conversations with them, multiple conversations, keep going back, talk to their wives, talk to their kids, their parents, their colleagues, players, and what have you. So there are 9 coaches in the book. Each coach is a chapter. Each chapter is 10,000 words plus. I got 6 basketball, 3 football. The basketball coaches are Mike Krzyzewski, Tom Izzo, Gino Auriemma, Jim Boeheim, Doc Rivers, and Brad Stevens. And then my 3 football coaches are Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, and Dabo Sweeney. So I got great access to all those guys, and a lot of them would say to me as I was talking to them, you know, I feel like I'm in therapy here. Because that's exactly what it was. It was breaking down their psychology back to their childhood, their relationship with their fathers, which is how it all begins, and then how they accumulated all their life experiences, all those formative experiences, the struggles, the adversities, the setbacks, and then what they take from all that, and then how they apply it to their teams and get their teams to us, which is a locker room of disparate personalities with individual goals, and get them playing for the same goal.
In the wake of the Michigan State and Tom Izzo news that we've been in the middle of for the last, I don't know, a couple of months or so, did you go back and read anything that he might have said to you or anything that you have gleaned from those interviews that made you think differently about some of the reports that we've heard?
Well, you know, there's been nothing factually in those reports, and that's really specifically the ESPN story that came out in the wake of the Larry Nassar trial, which was tough in the sense that, you know, to lump, you know, Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio in the same punch bowl as a Larry Nassar, I think is frankly a bit of a reach. And some of those cases with respect to his former players, that had been, you know, pretty public when it happened. I mean, we all knew the names of the players, didn't write it at the time. So there was really not a whole lot in that reporting that made me, you know, question what I've known about Tom Izzo, that would change, you know, my you know, fundamental conclusions about him. I will say, in the wake of that story, that I think that he's handled it very badly. I think this posture of not taking questions, not answering questions, well, there's a, we'll cooperate with the investigation, where, you know, you're looking like you have something to hide. And I think it's a combination of bad instincts and bad advice. When people get in these situations, their instinct tells them, you know, to shut things down and not answer questions and not get out the facts and the information that might help them with these questions. So it's been pretty frustrating to watch him go through it being as stubborn as he is, but certainly I'm not surprised to see him acting stubborn, because you know, as often happens, and this is one of the themes of the book, you know, our best qualities and our worst qualities come from the same place. And in Tom's case, it's definitely stubbornness.
Meanwhile, the team hasn't lost since this has all come out. I want to say they're 29-4. They're a top five team. And when I start
they got
to
work by Michigan, though.
Yeah, they did. Like you say, they might be a bad, good team. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of that stuff comes out. But as you look at what is likely to be your prospective NCAA field, how big is the group of teams that you think, this is the number of teams in this group that I think could reasonably win outside of some black swan event? How big is the group of teams that could be champ?
You know, every year it's around six or eight, Dan. You know, maybe it can go to nine or ten, but it's probably six or eight. You know, I forget what the exact number is, but I think it's almost 70% or two-thirds since they started seeding the teams. Two-thirds of the champs have been a one seed or a two seed. Mm-hmm. So for all this talk about how wide open things are, there's more parity than usual, it's actually the exception when there is a dominant team. That's the unusual occurrence. So this is, you know, maybe a little bit more wide open than we've seen, but it's not like it's historically unprecedented. You have a group of teams at the top: Villanova, Virginia, Michigan, Michigan State, Duke, Arizona, maybe Purdue. Maybe I wouldn't quite put them in that cast right now. Kansas is obviously up there. Xavier's in the mix. That's pretty much it. Now, could a team come out as an 8 seed like UConn did in 2014? Sure, of course, it's always possible, but it's certainly not likely.
What do you think the elimination of the one-and-done rule would do to NCAA basketball?
Well, you know, it's funny because so much attention is given to this, and so many people say, oh, one-and-done has been bad for the game. Well, I try to remind people, before there was one-and-done, there was none-and-done.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was like it was before, Marvin Bagley and DeAndre Ayton would be in the NBA and not in college. So I think people need to keep that perspective. I don't think it would do anything to college basketball, because we're only talking about a very, very small sliver of players, maybe three, four, five players at most in a year. I personally am all for players doing whatever they can to better themselves. You know, if the Boston Celtics want to draft a 13-year-old kid and pay him $1 million and make him ineligible for college, fine by me. I got enough problems raising my own 13-year-old kid. So I'm all for everybody trying to get everything they can, but this notion that one and done is you know, a huge impact on college basketball, and we're talking about so few number of players, I just, I'm not quite there.
Lastly, before we let you go, the bigger picture, the landscape against which this is going to play out, is involving all of this evidence that is sitting somewhere as part of an FBI file with the wiretaps and documents and thousands of emails. Where is college basketball relative to this unknown, this giant unknown, the many swords of Damocles that could be hanging over heads, and especially with the way the Sean Miller story now is receiving some pushback? Are people just kind of ignoring it until they have to confront it, or is it something that you're hearing people talk about as all this is going on?
Well, there's certainly a lot of people talking about it and wondering what's next, Dan. But, you know, I think the Sean Miller story is a great example of the cautionary tale in all this. Let's just let the facts come out. It is so hard to get good information about what exactly is going on. There's a couple of media leaks here and there. There was a big dump back in September when the feds, you know, dropped their initial claims and showed their initial evidence. But this idea that this was going to spread like wildfire and burn down the entire sport in these apocalyptic scenarios, I mean, it just hasn't materialized. And so we're on these twin tracks here of a federal case being prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York that is going to take, you know, as long as 1 to 2 years to play itself out. And in the meantime, you know, we're trying to make decisions and react to, you know, certain media leaks. And it's just hard to get really good information. So what I tell everybody, whether they're in our profession or the public or fans or coaches, whatever, let's just react to the facts and information as we have them, mm-hmm. and then we can make a decision. But now the twin track of this is that we all know what's been going on with agents in college basketball for decades. And unfortunately, because there is no commissioner, there is no person or small group of people who have their hands on the wheel. You have all these schools and their fiefdoms and their conferences and everything's kind of spread out. Unfortunately, it takes a crisis for people to create some real meaningful change. And so my hope is that out of this crisis, that there will be some meaningful change, that the amateur model will be modernized and updated. And I think, you know, beginning with the area of agents, there should be a lot more interaction and some type of professional relationship between young people and agents. And, you know, maybe you can have it be transparent where their financials involved and, you know, loans are made that have to be repaid. So Mark Emmert has assigned this commission on college basketball, chaired by Condoleezza Rice. They're going to present their findings at the end of April. They have promised that they are going to make bold proposals. Their definition of bold and our definition of bold might be different.
My bold proposal is eliminate the NCAA and Mark Emmert. But
I'm assuming they're not going to do that. Okay. So that's exactly my point. But I've been speaking with Emmert a lot about this, and you know his hope is to kind of circumvent the usual rules-making process, get a lot of stuff passed through the board of directors over the summer, and then take it back to the membership, have them pass it, and have it all in place by the start of next season. So you could see some real changes by the start of next season in terms of, you know, maybe being able to pursue marketing opportunities. Certainly in the area of agents and recruiting, there's going to have to be some real significant change. So those are your twin tracks. We've got a case that takes 2 years and an NCAA that takes a lot longer usually to make some change, but hopefully there's some legitimate and positive change coming.
It is the season of Seth Davis, at Seth Davis Hoops, CBS. You'll be seeing a lot of them. You'll be reading them at the Fieldhouse, and you should grab his book, Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. Seth, thanks, man.
Always great talking to you, Dan.
Seth Davis of CBS. So these are there's a lot of info in there, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, on the heels of the news that broke today, the NCAA surpassing $1 billion in annual revenue for the first time in
tax-free association history.
Yeah, this is from Bleacher Report. An audited financial statement released by the NCAA on Wednesday showed the governing body of college athletics generated nearly $1.1 billion in revenue during the 2017 fiscal year. Steve Berkowitz of the USA Today passed along details from the statement, which revealed a $105.1 million operating surplus. It's the first time the NCAA has surpassed $1 billion in revenue.
Hey, the business model of free labor is, it's hard to argue with. Yeah. It is really, sir.
Fortunately, indentured servitude only works for one side most times. you never see those guys, 4 to 7 years, I'm going to pay this off, everything's going to be fine.
No, that's why I think the model that, you know, when Mark Emmert says he's working on it, that means he's working on saving his relevancy and his job and his power and his control and the model that has made everybody rich and happy, except for the people who are actually doing the work. So I think what Seth was describing when he talks about the contact with agents and on the marketing side, it's third-party payments. It's saying the school doesn't have to pay you, but
just go out and get your worth.
If Joe Blow wants you to go open a restaurant for him down the street and you feel
show
free.
Show up at a dealership for $500
and
a pair or something
grab
like
a
that.
Check. Yeah. And what that does is it creates sort of a gray market in which your boosters that also happen to own local businesses can then begin.
Can actually hand you the money.
Can overpay you.
Right.
When it says, yes, I happen to own several car dealerships here in Lawrence, Kansas or Stillwater, Oklahoma. I will pay you $500,000 if you would like to come to do an opening for me. And it's where you're just laundering your actual payments through these third-party operations. And it's fine. I'm cool with that. That's free market.
The tax ramifications might be a little bit smoother for some of these people as well.
Yeah, 1099.
Right.
That's all. You're an independent contractor. You don't have to say you're an employee of the school. You just say, look, you earn money. It's no different than a guy starting a T-shirt company as a sophomore.
Yeah, this from the 815, where does all that money go? Says this, and then 847 asks as well, this might be a dumb question, but where does that money go? This from Business Insider back in 2013, the conclusion after a study that was done said that the fair market value for the average FBS football player, the average FBS football player.
Like $200,000 or something?
$137,357 per year. And the fair market value for the average men's basketball player is $289,031 per year. That was in 2013, ladies and gentlemen. So
start cutting up these numbers. The pie is going to be distributed a little bit more.
And by the way, right, and in 2013, the average player earned $23,204 in scholarship money. So for everybody, oh, they, you know, they get free room and board and shelter, and it's worth more than $23,000 as opposed to $289,000. So you do the math.
We had a little bit of NBA history made last night. You might have missed it, but there was an achievement that has raised a question that I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
And we'll see if you can get figure out some names here, because something happened on an NBA court that was noteworthy.
All right. And another Original Six City is going through something when it comes to content in this industry that we are going through currently as well. We'll break all that down for you before we're out of here at 6 o'clock. He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff. You're listening to 670 The Score.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins, Middays on The Score.
He's dealing with
what's incredible is he's overcoming it. He's made himself into such a good football player.
The chip on the shoulder is ridiculous.
That he could have a job as a professional football tackler with one hand.
There is a play later on.
Insane.
It's Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell just got franchise tag for the second year in a row. He's going to make $14.5 million this season if he and the team don't come to a long-term agreement. Pretty penny for a running back. The issue, though, is that the Steelers seem reluctant to give Bell long-term security. They can franchise him next year, too. He'd earn almost $21 million, netting $47.6 million over 3 years, but for a sport as brutal as football, at a position as damaging as running back for a player who logs over 350 touches a year, as odd as it sounds, it's unfair. All it takes is one play for season or career to be ruined. And unlike most teams, the Steelers don't take a by-committee approach, so Bell is constantly at peril. The franchise tag's exclusive negotiating intent is a great concept. It's unfortunate that NFL clubs now use it as a tool for short-term leasing until they use a guy up. I'm Tiki Barber.
Prepare yourself for the End of the World Tour. Avenged Sevenfold. With Prophets of Rage. Saturday, August 11th, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Plus 3 days grace and very special guests. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com, the venue box office, or charge by phone. Avenged Sevenfold with Prophets of Rage. End of the World Tour. For over 40 years, Freeway Ford Truck Sales has been Chicagoland's commercial truck headquarters. Freeway Ford is proud to say it's an exclusive Ford commercial truck dealer in the Chicagoland area. Freeway Ford is open to the public and features a full line of Ford vehicles, including Ford Edge, Escapes, Expeditions, and F-150s. You can buy at commercial prices at Freeway Ford, located a half mile south of Brookfield Zoo on First Avenue, or a half mile north of the Stevenson Expressway on First Avenue. Visit FreewayFordTrucks.com.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home, then you need to call the most honest lender in the mortgage business, Team Hochberg. Supporting veterans is Team Hochberg's passion, and that's why they support Veteran Roasters, a Chicago coffee roaster with great coffee that hires homeless and chronically unemployed veterans. If you'd like to help create jobs for homeless veterans, visit veteranroasters.com and purchase a 12-ounce bag of coffee ground by once homeless and unemployed veterans. The coffee's delicious, and the profits are reinvested in hiring additional homeless veterans. Use promo code Team Hochberg to save 50% off the second bag you purchase. Veteran Roasters, they were on the ground for us, so buy these grounds for them. If you're a veteran securing a VA loan, work with a lender who supports veterans. Call Team Hochberg at 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Team Hochberg has helped Jason and Tanny and thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 312-751-1333. For straightforward, no BS, honest advice, Team Hochberg, 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License C4358, NMLS 19186.
My neighbors always ask me, hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with the Scott's 4-Step Program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy steps, just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall, providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's 4-Step at your local Ace Hardware today.
It may be cold outside, but things are always cooking at the Backyard Barbecue Store. Hi, this is Dan Marguerite. Whether you are looking for a new grill, smoker, or just need some charcoal and smoking wood, we have you covered. We can even show you how to use that new grill at one of our grilling classes. Our newly designed space is also available for your next private event. The Backyard Barbecue, your Big Green Egg Superstore, is located at 535 Green Bay Road in downtown Wilmette. Or go to backyardbbqstore.com or call 847-251-2272. The Backyard Barbecue Store, your one-stop shop for everything barbecue.
Here's why AT&T Prepaid is a great prepaid choice.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid,
you get two ZTE Maven 3 smartphones for free
and two lines for $75 a month.
AT&T Prepaid has no annual contract
and no activation fee.
Switch to AT&T Prepaid and get two free ZTE Maven 3 smartphones and two lines on AT&T's reliable network.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Two for $75 per month requires two new lines of service on a $45 monthly plan each under a multi-line account. Account owner on autopay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
Okay, children, we're done with the alphabet. Next subject, financial well-being. How to manage your money. Turn to page 5 of your textbook.
When it comes to money, you can never start learning too early. That's why starting today, State Farm wants to give you the tools and support you need to take control of your finances.
Tonight, read the chapters on credit cards and balance transfers. Pop quiz tomorrow.
Find out more at letstarttoday.com. State Farm, here to help life go right.
And now, the Score's Dan Bernstein on the Bulls.
I have been talking Bulls on these airwaves since 1995, and I covered three championship teams as a full-time Bulls beat reporter. Now we get to talk about the games that you can hear right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're talking about it and analyzing everything on the Bernstein and Goff Show.
Talk Bulls basketball with Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's radio home of the Bulls. Thanks for streaming The Score. We are Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of the Chicago Cubs, where in 2018, you'll hear Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer deliver more of this.
Swing a line drive down the left field line. Base hit, Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner.
High fly ball, deep right field. Get out, the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Bryant flying to center his first time. Drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball. Home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Every Cubs game, spring training through the postseason, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins, middays on The Score.
Zach LaVine on the show. How's it going, Zach?
How you doing, my man?
LaVine, baseline, look, with a right-handed power dunk. Oh, my goodness.
Is that the first time you heard the highlight of that poster dunk? You almost broke Chuck Swirsky.
Yeah, I haven't heard that before until now.
So that was your would you say that was like your first poster, like real highlight since you've been a Bull?
I guess it was the first dunk since, yeah, first poster since being a Bull, yeah.
6'1", white guy, not very athletic over here. So, like, can you try to explain the feeling for those of us who've only dunked on a Nerf hoop, what it feels like to do that to somebody?
Feels great, you know. It's a lot of adrenaline, it's a rush, and you do it out of reaction most of the time too, so you really don't have time to think about it.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
In-home consultation.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
What brings you to Charlotte?
I live here.
Okay.
I live here.
I didn't know that. The more you know.
Stop asking Allen Iverson questions when he's just trying to enjoy a Charlotte Hornets game with a fifth of vodka.
Yeah, something is I live here. He gets his on when he wants to.
See you later. Right. See you later, Allen. All right.
All right.
All right. My man Allen Iverson, boy. You talk about how the mighty have fallen. Still got his chain gang though.
All right.
Yeah. I guess one of his cribs got foreclosed on in Atlanta that I was talking about earlier on.
Oh, that's too bad. All right, so here's what happened last night.
All right.
Carmelo.
All right.
All right.
Carmelo Anthony passed Jerry West.
Yes, he did. And top 20, right?
He became the number 20 mm-hmm. all-time scorer in the NBA. Can you name the only players with more points at the same age? It's one thing to get there. It's one thing if you're a graybeard by the time you get there.
You're just trying to get every layup in.
Speaking of graybeards, how about my guy Nene last night moving around like he's... I mean, that was like old...
He still got it.
That was like old Nene.
Like if you rode him too hard, he'd break.
Right.
But he'll still give you 20 minutes that you need.
I looked at like that. Trying to find Nene, cannot.
I'm like, there's my man. There's my guy.
The fact that... What is going on?
My Mabner Hilario.
Mabner
Hilario. And if he let his beard grow in, that's Lovie Smith.
Yeah. Dr. Harry Edwards. We're on the pick and roll. Yeah.
Full, and not like salt and pepper either.
No.
Remember the salt and pepper. I mean, ooh.
Push it.
Yep.
I remember... Do you remember when...
Salt and pepper.
We remember when North did an entire show on how that wasn't the hook of that song. They weren't saying, push it. He was the entire show, 4 hours that day.
It is.
They were saying,
No.
And then on top of it, yes, not push it, but the other word for a kitten. Yeah. And then on top of that, he was saying, because you know, the hook goes, push it real good. He was saying, these girls are saying how good their mm-hmm is. Listen to it again. And he's like,
No, they're not.
And he said it on the air like, mm-hmm, real good. And I'm like, oh my God, I get in this business.
I don't remember that show.
He did 4 hours on this. Guys were calling up, yeah, hey, this is Irish Bill. I've been telling you a long time that this entire rap thing is how they're selling porn to our kids. Yeah, he did 4 hours on Salt and Pepper, and if their smash hit, Push It,
right,
was not Push It, but...
It was a great night when they showed up at the Rockford Metro Center to take in a Lightning game.
Fun girls.
Yeah, Spinderella was married to Kermit Holmes. And
really?
Yeah. Who's I think he played Oklahoma. He was a minor league.
Okay.
So he was married to Spinderella. Right. And I said, wait a second. She's like, yeah, this is Sandy. Like, mm-hmm. You don't go by Sandy.
Yeah. Salt? Yeah, that was Salt at the time. Pepper was always my girl because you can always look in her eyes and know there was something nasty behind it.
All right, so no, they're very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Who were
same age
for at the same age? The only players with more points than Carmelo Anthony at the same age.
This is hard.
It is hard. It actually is not.
Kareem?
Yes.
Wilt?
Yes.
Mike?
No.
Ooh. LeBron?
Yes.
Billy Owens? No, Kevin Durant talked about how he modeled his game after Billy Owens the other night. Get your ass out of here when you were 12. No. All right. So all-time great scorers who did it by this age.
Yeah. Kobe? Yeah.
Yeah. T-Mac didn't get to that level. Mm-mm. No, he didn't score enough. Bobby Portis? No. How old is Carmelo's 34. Kevin Garnett? No, Kevin didn't mm-mm score like this, though.
Mm-mm. I was just trying to think of
34
straight from high school.
You've got LeBron, Kobe,
the Wilt, 2 years that they
this guy
in
was
college.
This last guy was not straight from high school. I believe 4 years of college.
All-time great?
Yeah.
Tim Duncan. Nikola
Mirotić.
No.
Not Tim?
No.
All-time great, 4 years of college.
I'm pretty
Oscar
sure it's...
Robertson?
No. I'm pretty sure it's 4 years of college. Small school.
Small school.
Hershey Hawkins.
Nope.
What are you doing?
I'm just thought.
Is it a Bradley shout out for some reason?
Small school. That's immediately.
Yeah, Hershey didn't quite score at the clip.
I'm aware.
And what part of all-time great is it getting through the skull of a Nikshevkowski?
Come on, Chef.
Hershey Hawkins was great when I was 9 by my standards.
Don't you ever do this again. I can't get this last guy.
All-time.
Timofey Mozgov.
No, Karl Malone.
Oh, the mailman.
Karl Malone. So those, and when you think about it, that's you're talking about people who started scoring at a clip young enough to
get there,
get them
at
all
that
the way
age.
And blow past it into the, because you're talking about your top scorers here. But that's
Carmelo is going to go down as one of the more underappreciated NBA players, I think, of all time.
That's really where I'm leading with that.
Right.
That I do think that you're going to be there. That people are going to look at the body of his work after the fact and be like, God,
inside outside bully. Like those that year,
he'll be there with like Alex English, right? When you start talking about underappreciated, right. And you look at it, you're like
Mark Aguirre,
damn,
yeah,
and Adrian
those dudes,
Dantley,
yeah, those
and,
dudes who didn't win anything, but you were entertained that year where he was on the Sunday afternoon NBC NBA on NBC. They had ABC games by then probably, but that first year I believe with the Knicks when he was I think like top five or six in MVP voting, and he was dropping 40
against the Bulls.
Yes,
yeah,
40 on every national game that he played in. Like Carmelo has been a genius when it comes to scoring for a very long time, and going back to Syracuse that one year. But man, I believe that first year in New York where Amari Stoudemire just happened to put his hand through a fire extinguisher glass and cut his hand up in that Celtics series, and Carmelo had nobody to run with. Carmelo is, you know me, I'm a Dominique Wilkins fan as a kid. So
that's guys another name right there. Yeah,
guys like Carmelo have always done it for me. If there's nothing else you're going to get tonight, you're going to get these buckets.
Yeah, people see dunks now, and they see hard dunks, and they just and even Jordan's balletic
power
dunks.
Dunk?
But I don't really think you know what it meant when Dominique was angry at the rim in a way that nobody before him was. Now, Dr.
And
J.
And the way the rim sounded back then.
Yeah.
Ka-chunk. Like, the rim, there was a different breakaway kind of vibe to the rims as opposed to back then. Like you were being forceful with the rim. The rim is now giving. You know, the rim relents. I give up, sir. No, back then the rim was like, all right, if you're going to attack me, attack me. Make it feel good on the end, too. Yeah. Push it real good.
Every time. Win a championship every time.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And Dominique was cool for that.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Nothing is better than rooting for your team in person as they push to the playoffs. Catch the Wolves at Allstate Arena as they battle Manitoba for first place on Saturday night and face Rockford Sunday afternoon. The Bulls host the Grizzlies tonight at the United Center. Prepare yourself for the return.
Our young guys will still obviously get an opportunity to play out there, but Justin he's going to start both halves for us. And then, you know, again, we've got our rotations in mind and how we're going to use it. And, you know, you'll see that during the game.
That is head coach Fred Hoiberg. And yes, Justin Holliday will be back in the starting lineup tonight after Commissioner Adam Silver warned the Bulls about resting healthy players. You can hear Chicago host Memphis here on the Score. Pregame kicks off at 6:45. In spring training baseball, the White Sox and Reds are in the bottom of the eighth in Glendale. Cincinnati's up 12-9. Yoan Moncada 3-for-3 with 2 runs scored in this one. Cubs have a night game versus Cleveland this evening in the desert. Jose Quintana starts. Ian Happ leads off once again. Finally, in the NFL, the Seahawks are trading defensive end Michael Bennett to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Ian Rappaport is reporting that cornerback Richard Sherman is also expected to be traded or cut by Seattle. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station and the new radio home of the Chicago Bulls. The next Bulls game on the Score is tonight when the Bulls take on the Grizzlies. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This scoreboard update was brought...
This segment sponsored by Cece's new crust, new sauce, New York style pizza. Now at Cece's, grab an extra large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and new cheesecake brownies for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet for just five and change. Only at Cece's, prices vary, restrictions apply. All right, what you got?
All right, so this is from the biglead.com from Henry McKenna, and the headline is Kirk Minahane is right. Boston radio listeners, by and large, don't want hockey talk. And it's a battle that we fought in this city for years since the Blackhawks got good and people thought, oh, why aren't you talking more Hawks? Why don't you talk more hockey? That's the, you know, it's popular now for people to just leave on social media, talk more hockey, and we know exactly what they're referring to. Well, Kirk from the Kirk and Callahan show at WEEI went off because the people that want to hear hockey talk usually are the people at the hockey games. And then you ask to talk about it and they don't want to talk about it.
This is Boston. Well,
another Original Six franchise.
And again, it's a very insular fan base.
And sports radio rules radio in Boston. Like, we do good. You know, the other station does good, and we all battle it out. Boston is doing ridiculous numbers when it comes to sports radio.
No one listens to anything else. No music, no general talk,
nothing. It's Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, and Red Sox. Exactly. So I think you can remove Bruins from the Kirk and Callahan show.
I don't think hockey's a talker. I don't find it an interesting sports talk radio subject, but people weren't saying, oh,
I'm going to listen to the station because they're talking hockey today. That's a myth. There's no statistical proof that backs that up. Television ratings of the four sports, the Bruins are by far the lowest. I don't find hockey a compelling subject on talk radio. I don't. Dale does. So maybe he's talking about when he says some people just don't want to talk about it. I don't. Can I talk about it as well as Dale? No. By the way, I'll say this. When Dale talks basketball, he sounds like a friggin' idiot. Like, he doesn't know anything about basketball. He doesn't. Zero. I can hear him. He's stammering, he's stuttering, doesn't pay attention to the NBA. So Dale can play that game, he's like Mr. Hockey. Dale knows less about basketball than I do about hockey. I don't think he knows if a basketball is puffed or stuffed. I actually don't think he has a clue about it. So when he waves his hockey stick around, he plays this game. Dale talking basketball is an embarrassment to the station, to the state of Massachusetts, to New England, to America, and the world. It's horrendous. And by the way, you have your show every day. Talk about hockey all day.
To me, that's the bigger takeaway.
You got 20 hours a week, Dale. Why don't you talk? If the Bruins are so compelling and so interesting, talk about them for 20 hours a week. It's your show. God knows you got Holly out of there. Keith will do whatever you want. The third guy's just going to go along to get along. Talk hockey for 20 hours. Go for it. We've been number one now for a year. We haven't done one segment on the Bruins. Not one. Here's the deal, all right? We made this deal. Leave our show alone, okay? We'll leave yours alone. Talk all the hockey you want. Knock yourself out. By the way, it's your own show now. Talk it for 20 hours a week. Knock yourself out. Dude, go for it. I'm not going to do it. I didn't do it last year. I didn't do it the year before or the year before. We've been number one. The Bruins make the playoffs great. They go on a great long run. I'm rooting for it. God bless them. Mazel tov. Whatever you want. But leave me alone, okay? You know, we don't. I'm not going to point any fingers, but, you know, in 2011, and I got fired, and I had to sell my house, and what do you have, freaking Tanguay's mortgage? Take care of your own business. I mean, Jesus. All right, they brought Salkin and Mudd. It was a disaster. It's not because they couldn't talk hockey. It's because they tried to talk hockey. They weren't themselves.
He's
That's
talking
why.
About
I myself,
shows.
If you don't like our show for 20 minutes a day driving to work, if you're so thirsty for Bruins talk, you need it for 20 minutes, you should be freaking institutionalized anyway. I mean, really, we're not a hockey talk show. Sorry, we're not. Sorry. Jesus.
Hey, listen, there are ways that you should go
That's
about
a
business.
Coworker. That's not a competitor he's
and,
talking
and
about.
And when he's talking, he said you got Holly out of, he's talking about Michael Holly. Like, he's giving people the behind the scenes of what, not only what's going on at the station, but how he feels about another show. Hey, listen, if we can get, that is the Running Man version of sports radio right there, where it's everybody for themselves. He's number one, and he doesn't give a damn what you think about him. Wow. Shout out to Kirk Minahane. I've never listened to that show
before.
I
like the Irishman dropping a mazel tov in there,
yeah,
just
man.
Because.
And they've gotten in trouble for some things, you know, and they've gotten in trouble with some people that I'm fond of. But, man, that was awesome. Told hockey fans, screw you, I'm not talking.
This is not the time to do hockey.
And he's not lying. They do not, like,
not
one
single segment.
They don't bring it up. And you know how important the Bruins are. Well, you heard it just now.
Right.
Like, low key, I want Tanny to run that back because of how excellent it was, but I don't want to do that because people would be like, it's bad radio. You're pooping on my favorite sport. But man, that's it right there. That is it. That is how more program directors feel than you would like to realize. That is how a lot of hosts feel. It's not about your sport. It's about the engagement.
It's about how it functions as right. a talk radio subject.
That's all it is. Yeah. That's all it is. I like boxing. Guess what? If I talk more than one segment of boxing, somebody's going to be like, hey, what the hell are you doing, fam? Nobody knows who the hell you're talking about.
I could do 4 hours on crossword puzzles if you wanted. We could have all the constructors
right.
and
you do.
Have all the writers on.
Yeah, have you ever seen a break? This dude is sitting right there doing crossword puzzles.
I'm just saying, I could do that, but I don't.
Oh, Kirk. Yeah. My spirit animal when you're not saying other things that I don't disagree with. But yeah, that was it. And yes, as you mentioned, he's not talking about a competitor.
That's a coworker.
He's talking about a guy that's coming on after him, Dale Arnold. Can you imagine? Like, good-natured ribbing happens between this show and the midday show, you know, because, hey, they're tough guys. They can take it. And they give us some as well. That's fun. But can you imagine just all out, just gloves being dropped and people talking about, like, that was what the old days of this station used
to
be.
Well, that's what transition should be tomorrow. You guys should just come in and
just start
crucifying something that they did.
I'm down. I'm down for that any day of the week. You know why? Danny's a good sparring partner. I'll say that about Parkins, along with, you know, some pretty, you know, well thought out bits and points. Danny's a good sparring partner because you better have the third and fourth level of your argument together, because the first level is going to get, you know, he's going to process it very quickly and he's going to come back with something. But yeah, that's what it is though. That's what it's, and the fact if you're the king, you could talk crazy like that. Danny, can you run that one more time for me? Screw that. I want to hear it again.
I don't think hockey's a talker. I don't find it an interesting sports talk radio subject, but people weren't saying, I'm going to listen to this station because they're talking hockey today. That's a myth. There's no statistical proof that backs that up. Television ratings of the four sports, the Bruins are by far the lowest. I don't find hockey a compelling subject on talk radio. I don't. Dale does. So maybe he's talking about when he says some people just don't want to talk about it. I don't. Can I talk about it as well as Dale? No. By the way, I'll say this. When Dale talks basketball, he sounds like a friggin' idiot. Like, he doesn't know anything about basketball. He doesn't. Zero. I can hear him. He's stammering. He's stuttering. Doesn't pay attention to the NBA. So Dale can play that game. He's like Mr. Hockey. Dale knows less about basketball than I do about hockey. I don't think he knows if a basketball is puffed or stuffed. I actually don't think he has a clue about it. So when he waves his hockey stick around, he plays this game. Dale talking basketball is an embarrassment to the station, to the state of Massachusetts, to New England, to America, and the world. Horrendous. And by the way, you have your show every day. Talk about hockey all day.
To me, that's the bigger takeaway.
You got 20 hours a week, Dale. Why don't you talk? If the Bruins are so compelling and so interesting, talk about them for 20 hours a week. It's your show. God knows you got Holly out of there. Keith will do whatever you want. The third guy's just going to go along to get along. Talk hockey for 20 hours.
Go for it.
We've been number one now for a year. We haven't done one segment on the Bruins. Not one. Here's the deal, all right? We made this deal. Leave our show alone, okay? We'll leave yours alone. Talk all the hockey you want. Knock yourself out. By the way, it's your own show now. Talk it for 20 hours a week. Knock yourself out. Dude, go for it. I'm not going to do it. I didn't do it last year. I didn't do it the year before or the year before. We've been number one. The Bruins make the playoffs. Great. They go on a great long run. I'm rooting for it. God bless them. Mazel tov. Whatever you want. But leave me alone, okay? You know, we don't. I'm not going to point any fingers, but, you know, in 2011, and I got fired, and I had to sell my house, and what are you, take care of your own business. I mean, Jesus. All right, they brought Salk in, and Mother was a disaster. It's not because they couldn't talk hockey, it's because they tried to talk hockey. They weren't themselves, that's why. I myself, if you don't like our show for 20 minutes a day driving to work, if you're so thirsty for Bruins talk, you need it for 20 minutes, you should be friggin' institutionalized anyway. I mean, really. We're not a hockey talk show. Sorry. We're not. Sorry. Jesus.
Kirk Minahan. That is,
just spilling all the tea. He mentioned a team that they brought in there that thought they should talk hockey and got launched because of it. In the end, kids, and for all you young broadcasters out there, just be yourself. Talk about the sports that you like.
And, of course, the 779 says, Hawks are more popular than Bulls. I guarantee you I watch more Hawks games than this guy did this year.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that, nah.
Patently, no, yeah, stop. What? It was a cool run. Maybe they'll have another one. But man, oh man, I got to call Kirk. I got to send him a love letter or something, a nude or something. The Kirk and Callahan show is my favorite show tonight. All right, he's Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff.
That was a thing.
Everything.
Brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep. Get heavenly sleep with a new Tomorrow Hybrid mattress. Use promo code DRIVE1 and save up to $250 when buying a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector at tomorrowsleep.com. And guess who's coming up next?
Who's that?
For a 45-minute little island of sports sanity.
Who is that?
Nick Szepkowski.
Yay! He's my second favorite Polish person behind Paul. It's my guy, Nick Szepkowski. We'll talk to him next or just do the propers and then kind of talk to him. You're listening to the Bernstein and Goff Show here on 670 The Score.
Well, that was just like sit back and take your pounding.
You and a friend could be watching the Cubs live at historic Wrigley Field for every regular season home game this season for free.
Get out the tape measure. The scoreboard.
The Score wants you to experience this for the entire regular season. Be listening all day Monday when we kick off our Old Dominion Freightline Cubs season tickets giveaway contest. From 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Presented by Dykstra Home Services and Old Dominion Freightline.
Starting route to Potawatomi Hotel and Casino.
This March, navigate your way to thousands in cash prizes on Potawatomi's Wednesday night game show, Cash Compass. 120 guests will compete for their share of up to $200,000 in cash and FKC reward play. Play with your club card March 1st through 28th to earn entries. Cash Compass. How much will you pull in? Wednesdays in March, only at Potawatomi. Visit paysbig.com/compass for more. Must be 21 years old and a club member to play.
Tile professionals and interior designers, have you visited the Tile Shop lately? They have hundreds of new and exclusive products, an expanded assortment of stone collections, and premium installation materials specified to industry standards from trusted brands like Superior, Weddy, Lackmond, and more. Plus, professionals get exclusive perks when they join their pro network. Stop in or tell your clients to make a design consultation appointment on tileshop.com. The Tile Shop is open to both pros and the public. Visit one of their 12 Chicago-area stores in Algonquin, Lincoln Park, Countryside, Deerfield, Geneva, Hoffman Estates, Lake Zurich, Naperville, Skokie, Tinley Park, Schererville, or the newly remodeled Lombard location. For more information on pro perks or to join the pro network, visit tileshop.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking to refinance your home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. Sally's heard hundreds of Team Hochberg's ads, so naturally she called the nation's largest online lender, obsessed with their Rocket, because she saw their ad pumping gas. Bad move. The Rocket-loving lender quoted Sally a rate higher than us and closing costs $6,000 more than Team Hochberg's. We explained the exorbitant closing costs and refinanced Sally into a lower rate and credited all of her closing costs. Team Hochberg doesn't have a Rocket, but we have lower rates and substantially lower closing costs. When securing a mortgage, you could call the nation's largest online lender who spends millions promoting their Rocket by charging excessive closing costs, or you could call Team Hochberg at 312-751-1333 or visit perldavid.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of score listeners, but we can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit perldavid.com.
Pearl Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License C-4358 and MLS-19186.
Call local GEICO agent Tim Calcagno for help with auto, home, and identity theft insurance. Tim and his team would love to help you. 630-671-0600.
Golf here, and I've had enough of winter. I need a vacation, and I've been pricing them. I can't wait to go to Vegas next week and enjoy some tournament action. And I got family members who want to do the same. Not go to Vegas with me because they're not allowed. It's kind of a guy's trip. It should be fun. But, you know, maybe send my lady somewhere south. Not too far south because I don't want her to come back scarred. But maybe to Miami or something like that. And, of course, my mom wants to travel for her birthday. I got a way to help you guys earn the extra cash you need so you can make your next vacation extra special. Sign up to drive with Uber. Become an Uber driver partner. When you drive with Uber, you're your own boss and you earn extra cash on your schedule. Plus, when you drive with Uber, you can earn more every single week with tipping. I like tipping. I tip drivers that treat me well and get me where I need to be efficiently and comfortably, and also make sure that they have 670 the score on in their cars. Riders can send you tips right from the app so you can add to your weekly earnings for the great service that you may offer. And thanks to Uber's instant pay, you can cash out up to 5 times a day. That's right. Empty cash money into your bank account up to 5 times a day. Earn extra cash when it works for you for the things that matter to you, like that next vacation. Sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now. Certain restrictions apply. See site for.
Are you in the market for a dentist? Introducing Dr. Alan Elkis, owner of Smiles on Elston Dentistry. He wants to provide you a glowing, healthy smile and you to feel great about it. He offers simple, straightforward explanations, organized plans, and no hidden costs. Smiles on Elston is a gem in the heart of Jefferson Park, offering free street parking, outstanding Yelp reviews, a warm and friendly staff, and participation in most PPOs is offered. Don't wait any longer. It's time to visit the exceptionally painless dentist, Dr. Alan Elkis, at Smiles on Elston. Visit them today at smilesonelston.com or call 773-763-7434. Buffalo Wild Wings Daily. That's why B-Dubs has online ordering for takeout. Visit Butter Sports.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Nick Schepkowski is human trash.
No, he isn't. You are, Matt Spiegel. Talk about my guy, Shep, like that.
This segment sponsored by CeCe's New Crust, New Sauce, New York Style Pizza. Now at CeCe's, grab an extra large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and new cheesecake brownies for dessert. There's so much to love in the buffet for just five and change. Only at CeCe's. Prices vary, restrictions apply. And this transition is brought to you by my guys at Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster condition.
Shep?
Microphone.
Turn my mic on!
Every damn time I do that in here because they get switched up.
Oh,
so what else is on the...
That's switching up.
It is! No, it's right. Confusing.
That happens to me quite often.
So what else is on that short list?
Never.
If you've got hockey, if you've got Blackhawks and being kind of forced... Welcome to this side. I walked right into it.
So?
But that...
Short list?
Short list of things like that pertain to the Blackhawks, Stanley Cup runs, that you find yourself, all right, got to talk about this today because it's the news of the day. But
that I don't like talking about?
I don't really want to do this.
Spring training baseball. If there's not a story and we have to talk.
So it's like this year entirely for the Cubs side.
So far, there's been no stories. I mean, you got Kyle Schwarber, who is less fat. You got Yu Darvish,
the low fat version.
Right, exactly.
It's leadoff hitter, and that's it.
That's it.
It's not like you're playing for necessarily a roster spot. Maybe a starting spot.
You're never rooting for an injury.
Right.
Right. Or
right.
The training.
Training camp gets
preseason,
old.
Preseason football.
Even preseason football. You actually those games kind of matter now.
No, dude.
Some of it.
You
does.
Got one of them. You just throw out entirely. You have the fourth one that you
got another one. This year. You got the Hall of Fame game this year.
Right. Yeah, you have five this year.
Things that
wasn't that Kyle Orton's coming out party back in the day.
We're seeing a new offense now.
Yeah, it's a little different.
This is good now.
So things that you know are hot,
is, though,
and that you have to talk about that you may not
like. Say Loyola goes to the Sweet 16.
I think that's a cool story.
Like, we can talk about Krutwig.
Yes, my guy Krutwig and Ingram. I keep giving him a Dontrell, even though his name's Dante.
Dante.
Yeah, Dante Ingram.
He's cover boy today.
He is. Yeah, so I don't know if I have too many of those things. Oh, you know what? Golf.
I'm with you.
Anything other than the majors? Like, if something happens, Dan loves watching golf because of the coverage, and he enjoys the sport a little bit more, well, a lot more than I do. I watch the majors, and especially the Tiger majors. Like when Tiger was doing his thing,
sure,
I'm there for it.
But get used to Subhankar Sharma.
I've been told.
Got a special exemption to join the Masters field.
I've been told I need to get
you
used
look
to Subhankar Sharma.
Subhankar Sharma. It's Sahadev's younger brother.
It's not.
He also goes on with Chris Russo.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, Chris would struggle with this one. If he had trouble with Sahadev.
You think Sahadev's a tough one, then you're in real trouble.
See, I can't even say that about...
I'm with you.
Watching the Hawks.
Shut it down.
Like, watching the Hawks during that run was outstanding.
And
it was a ton of fun. Yeah.
That's different than talking about the overload power play.
Right.
Or line combinations or defensive pairings.
Yeah, we're guys on one side of the puck.
This from the 815. No, I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to read that. I'll
channeling your inner grobber there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll pass it along
to
him, though.
I'll censor myself.
Yeah, I'll pass it along to him, though. But, yeah, I don't have too many things. I mean,
I'm with you on the golf part, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, if it's not Tiger, I can't get it. And I know it's the sport is significantly better than it was.
Way deeper than it was. Yeah.
But I just can't find the interest to force myself through a Sunday of
College World Series. People
when have we talked about the College World Series?
Like when Mark Pryor was
talking about
drafted,
things that are hot
the last time?
Think of when things are hot, though. People like watching the College World Series every single year. It's a lot. The same people who like college sports. It's a lot of people who like that collegiate exuberance and all that other stuff.
Is this part of the Southeast thing coming out, though? Because, like, college baseball is huge down there.
Signing
day.
Child peddling.
Drooling over 17 and 18-year-olds.
Ranking classes on signing day.
That's pretty bad.
That's bad.
That's one I liked when I was, like, 17 or 18.
This
and now
went a lot better with Shep than I thought it was going to go.
You can kiss my butt.
There it is.
Whoa.
Take it easy. Oh, we're working with Blue Shep now. Take it easy there, too. All right, thank you to the people.
Good for Shep.
Thanks to Vincent Goodwill, Matt Miller, and Seth Davis for joining us today.
This man right here is one of the people we're going to thank, but not right now. Brian Gertsch, our video coordinator.
Mighty, healthy, off Supreme, hardest track ever. Chilling with my man, Rusty Ghost, is a beast.
I either want that to happen more or never again. I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel right now about him reciting lyrics. Oh. All right, and the executive producer of this ridiculous show, he's in here. He's going to be with you until 6:45. His name is Nick Shepkowski.
Who's the weird guy with the
Video
cell
camera?
Phone.
Yeah,
video,
he's just going to make it awkward. It's our executive producer, Jay Zawoski.
No, he's a porn producer.
It's a bad porn.
Why? Why can't Jay make good porn? Maybe he makes outstanding porn.
All right.
Why does it have to be bad?
Imagine a porno with
Jay?
With Danny, Jay, Leo, and Speaks.
Yeah, not a Death Row Records. You don't have the producer all up in your porn.
You gotta call up one of the porn stars yourself so they show up. You gotta book his stars for him. All right, so Chris Tannehill is our audio overlord.
I'm not going to point any fingers, but, you know, in 2011, and I got fired, and I had to sell my house, and what are you, freaking Tanguy's mortgage?
I guess Dale Arnold is their Murph.
Oh,
that's why so he's doing the voice and everything.
So he's just like an eccentric weirdo. Okay.
Yeah.
Plays the coach theme under his whole show.
Yeah.
Nothing to let lose it.
All right. So for Dan Bernstein, Brian Gertz, Nick Shepkowski, Chris Tannehill.
All right. Sounds like him.
I'm Jason Goff. Shep is coming up. Bulls basketball after that. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on 670 The Score.
All right.
Accidents.
You're Paul. I'm the new sprint intern.
Sprint plus.
Intern. Yeah, clever, right?
I'm gonna...
Look at getting an amazing iPhone 8.
Yeah, because...
They have an all-glass design, advanced cameras.
I'm going to...
Going to give your second phone to your new friend. Wow, Paul!
Now lease one iPhone 8 and get a second one on us. Visit your local Sprint store, sprint.com/iPhone, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
iPhone 8, 64GB, $29.17 a month. Second iPhone 8 after $29.17 a month. Credit applied within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines or 1 new and 1 upgrade with 18-month leases. Early termination results in full balance. Due exclusive tax, subject to credit and $30 activation. Restrictions apply.
Prepare yourself for the End of the World Tour. Avenged Sevenfold with Prophets of Rage. Saturday, August 11th, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Plus 3 days grace and very special guests. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com, the venue box office, or charge by phone. Avenged Sevenfold with Prophets of Rage. End of the World Tour.
Okay, children, we're done with the alphabet. Next subject, financial well-being. How to manage your money. Turn to page 5 of your textbook.
When it comes to money, you can never start learning too early. That's why starting today, State Farm wants to give you the tools and support you need to take control of your finances.
Tonight, read the chapters on credit cards and balance transfers. Pop quiz tomorrow.
Find out more at letstarttoday.com. State Farm, here to help life go right.
The Score's Lawrence Holmes on the Bulls.
It's been so nice going to Bulls games this year because for the first time in a long time, there's a lot of hope that goes along with these games. And it's fun to be back in the United Center watching what the Bulls can do. This is the place where you can hear all of that excitement go on. You get to hear the growth right here on 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's radio home of the Bulls. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
The Bears hire Brad Childress, and if you remember, that's the guy that I wanted them to hire. Now, I wanted them to hire him as offensive coordinator, but I'm good that he's going to be like the consigliere of Matt Nagy. That's what you want. Someone who has a history of coaching offense in this system and can help get your quarterback in the right spot. The other interesting parallel to me, looking at the Eagles with the Bears, is the running back situation. See, I think that they have their LeGarrette Blount, and I think they have their Clement. I think Howard and Cohen do that. They need someone in the middle. They need an Ajayi type. But when I was watching Clement go out there and do what he did, where he looked like the best mismatch that the Eagles had on the field, I kept thinking, that's stuff that Tariq Cohen can do.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score. The
Cubs manager.
How's it going, Joe?
What does Jose Quintana do so well?
You guys don't have the opportunity to see him walk in the dugout after he's warmed up before he goes in the game. His eyes are so focused. I mean, the guy just competes his butt off.
Spiegel and Parkins. 9 a.m. to 1. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
And that was very interesting when Mark Helfrich was hired as the offensive coordinator. He's a guy that calls plays. And obviously they've done it in Philadelphia, and that should give you a little bit of hope watching what happened in the Super Bowl, because it means that the Bears have tapped into the right system.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on